It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 327, entitled, Where Did John Go? It was recorded on Monday the 24th of March, 2025. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and today I am joined by three WordPressers. First up, the co-host is Remcus de Vries, but we're also joined by Anna Herko and by Jonathan Overall. In some cases, audio only, but he was still here nevertheless. It's a WordPress podcast, so, you know, what do we talk about? Well, the first thing we talk about is WordPress 6.8 and the Source of Truth document, which describes in great detail what is coming in WordPress 6.8. It's definitely worth a read. We also talk about the OSI model and how it underpins the entire internet. Every single thing that you do on the internet runs through this incredibly complicated and extraordinarily unlikely series of protocols. And it's really, really interesting. We also talk about the fact that WordPress might, I stress might, be going to one update per year. What would the consequences of that be, and is it a good thing? Then we get into whether or not the WordCamp happening next year in Mumbai, it's WordCamp Asia, whether or not it will exclude certain nations, for example, those people from Bangladesh, because of visa restrictions. And we also talk about, well, for ages, about CloudFest and the CloudFest hackathon. I was there last week and I really had an extraordinarily interesting time. We dissect that, and it's all coming up next on This Week in WordPress. This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. And by Bluehost. Redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And by Omnisend. Do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes, that Omnisend. The email and SMS tool that helps you make 73 bucks for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try Omnisend today at omnisend.com. Good morning, good afternoon, good day, good evening, whatever. Good stuff. Have a good day. It's episode number 327 of This Week in WordPress. As you can see, I'm joined by three. There are three people gonna be here, but one of them was inadvertently dismissed by me a moment ago, and I incorrectly identified a problem on their computer. In fact, it was me. I had a problem on my computer, and anyway, they went to reboot and got caught up in the update cycle of death. And so hopefully John will be with us in a moment. But for now, we've got Remcus de Vries. How are you doing, Remcus?
I'm well. How are you?
Yeah, good. Remcus and I hung out and unnecessarily insulted each other for almost an entire week. It was
it was good fun.
Yeah, thank you. I think you got the better of me a little bit from time to time.
Yeah, I'd say there's an even split.
you're very good. Anyway, here's the bio. Remcus de Vries is a WordPress performance specialist focused on speed, security, and scalability. As co-founder of Scanfully, he helps site owners stay ahead of performance and security updates. Remcus also runs Within WordPress, a newsletter and podcast for passionate people about building better WordPress sites, and shares insights on YouTube. Drop the links, Remcus. Where do we get Scanfully?
Scanfully.com and withinwp.com are the ones to check out.
Nice. Actually, I can see that under your name, it says scanfully.com. So that's very helpful. John, I can see you there. We'll drop you in just a moment. But for now, I'm going to introduce Anna Herko. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm great. I'm still on my way from CloudFest from Germany. I have, that's why I bad lighting. So sorry. It takes a while. Yeah.
Yeah, gosh. Okay. Well, we'll get into CloudFest in a moment, but Anna has possibly the shortest bio we've ever had on this show. So this is going to take just a moment because it's nice and brief. Anna is the co-founder and CEO of CrockerBlock. I introduced Anna in a podcast to our audience not that long ago. And go on. As your bio was short, you have a moment to pitch. Tell us about CrockerBlock quickly. What is it and what does it do?
CrockerBlock is creating plugins for developers for creating dynamic websites. And it works with Zamenter, Gutenberg, and Bricks for now. That's basically it.
Nice. Thank you very much. Well, it's an absolute pleasure having you. So let's see if we can get John in as well. There he is. There's John.
Hey.
How are you doing, John?
Hi, I'm doing better, sort of.
Well, John, I have an apology to make. I thought it was your audio. It was actually mine.
Well, that's good to know. My computer rebooted, it decided to scan one of my hard drives. It's still scanning it, so I set up my laptop.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate the efforts you went to. My audio was like...
Can I interject real quick?
Yeah.
Nobody can watch us because the live page does not have an embedded video working.
It does. It's going out on YouTube and nobody watches it on our page particularly. So it's there for more of a convenience. If you go to the YouTube live, we're good. I'm going to fix that. I don't know what I did wrong. I must have pasted the URL in slightly incorrectly. Maybe I got like a trailing tag or something, but I'll check it.
I was getting left and right. So
yeah, it's a curious thing. So the way it works is I stream it to YouTube, but as a convenience, they also, the playing system, it's called Wave Video. They offer this embed code. So I just put it into our site and a few people watch it over there, but most people don't. I'll get it fixed in a minute. I've definitely copied and pasted something incorrectly. So, but most of the audience are watching it on YouTube, so we should be good. But look, it's John. It's John Overall. Yes. And I'm so glad that you've come. I don't know if Anna and Remkus like followed John's podcasting adventures back in the day, but I was on a podcast with John recently and I was telling him that when I got into WordPress in about 2014, something like that, I used to take my children to drum lessons. And it was also the time I started listening to podcasts. So I got into WordPress, got into listening to podcasts and settled on John's podcast. And so hearing his voice talking back to me on the podcast that we did was kind of eerie. It was really nice. But there he is. It's John Overall. And I'll read John's bio. I might expurgate it a little bit, John.
Oh, please do.
A bit there. Yeah.
It's a bit windy.
Yeah, it's all right. No worries. The last 16 years, John Overall has been the creator and co-founder of the WordPress plugins A to, we say Z, and I know you do as well, podcast. 5 years ago, his daughter Amber joined him as his co-host on the podcast. And in each episode, John and his daughter Amber delve into the vast world of WordPress plugins, helping listeners navigate through over 100,000 plus plugins available on the internet to separate the junk from the gems. We'll pause it there. But Jonathan, tell us where we can find it. What's the website for the
pod? You can find me at wppluginsa2z.com or wppro2z.com.
It's so weird listening to somebody with a North American accent say the letter Z.
That's what happens when you live in Canada, you know?
Yeah.
You get adjusted to the English version of many things.
Yeah, I'll bet. Yeah. Okay, so this is our panel. And we're going to talk about the WordPressy things. As I said to Remkus a minute ago, I'll try to fix. If you are trying to watch this on wpbuilds.com/live, just go to YouTube and search for WP Builds over there, and hopefully you'll find it. You never know. Okay, what have we got for you this week? Let's put the screen on. First thing to mention is that this is our website, wpbuilds.com. If you want to subscribe to what we're doing, we send a couple of emails each week. Just put your email address into this box and click subscribe. And we only send two. We repurpose this as a podcast episode, which comes out tomorrow morning. So you'll get a notification email about that. But also we, on a Thursday, we produce the regular audio podcast episode. And we'll notify you about that. That's basically it. So the subscribe over there. I'd like to thank our sponsors. We're sponsored at the moment by GoDaddy Pro, Bluehost, and OmniSend. Thanks to them for keeping the lights on over here. I really appreciate their contributions and helping us keep going. Nothing else really to mention over there, but let's crack into the news this week. First thing, is this. I'd like to point this to everybody's attention. Recently, Anne McCarthy has been making this great, big, long, complicated document called The Source of Truth. But as Anne is an automatician, her time has been used in different ways, let's just put it that way. And so this has been taken on now by Birgit Pauli Hack over at the Gutenberg Times. And it's a massive, I mean, it's really long. Look, it's really, really, really long. So lots of depth here. It's all about what's coming in version 6.8 of WordPress. I'll just go through a couple of things which I think of interest. And as always, panel, if you want to interrupt, please feel free. Here we go. Focusing this time around, we're going to be making improvements to the data views, the query loop, and block integrations. There's a more streamlined experience with the zoom out editing mode. Expanded.
Here's a thing I've never used.
Go on. What, the zoom out thing?
Yeah. I mean, I've looked at it once and I go like, okay, fine, whatever. Never use it.
Don't you? Doesn't it force itself on you when you drop in a pattern?
Yeah. And I click it away as soon as I can.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. Oddly, I do as well, actually. But now you'll be able to edit with it, which is quite nice. There's also API developments, including the block hooks and the interactivity API. The most exciting one of there for me is the interactivity API. I think that's really interesting. Also, Remkes will be absolutely loving. Well, I assume Remkes will be loving this. Speculative loading is dropping into 6.8 with performance optimizations as well. Speculative loading is kind of voodoo. It's your website's capacity. Yeah, I know. It sounds like AI, but it's not really, is it?
No.
It's your WordPress website's ability to kind of just before you click something to go out and start loading the page up. Yeah. But tell us how it's done, Remkes, because I honestly don't get it. I assumed it was something to do with your mouse hovering over something for a period of time.
Yeah, there is. It's basically tracking what your mouse does over intentional links inside your WordPress site, meaning if you are hovering over any of the menus or anything else linking to, for instance, a category archive, whatever. There's a delay between when your mouse is over it and when you actually click on it. And in that delay, there's time to optimize. And that's basically what the speculative loading does. It kind of figures out, look, if you're going here this intentionally, you're going to click this link. And then before you click it, it already starts gathering all the assets and resources and basically create the DOM, the HTML document ready for you. With that, when you click, it's there. It's just poof.
And this requires absolutely no kind of fiddling with from a WordPress user's point of view, which is it's, if you've got WordPress 6.8, is it on by default? But there's no settings, right? It's just either on or off.
There's no settings. And as far as I remember, there's like pretty much a safe setting there now. And I think at some point it's going to be improved upon. But everybody will start benefiting from it. There are filters if you don't like it, if you want to turn it off. But it's a great feature. The only downside of it, but all of these features have that, is that if you're a hoverer and you hover, because I don't know if you've ever seen somebody else process a page, there's loads of people who select text and link here and just hover everywhere. They will spend a bit more resources on processing a site. You could see that as a negative, but on the whole, on the browsing experience, it's a wonderful solution.
Can I suggest one possible other negative consequence? And that would be the environmental impact. Are we not loading things that we may not actually need?
That's what I mean.
Oh, it is what you mean.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't connect it to the environment, but it's essentially wasting resources is that, yeah.
Right. So if you, yeah, okay. So you might be, I don't know, adding 1% or 2% extra stress onto your server because people are hovering and they're not actually ultimately clicking. Okay.
Correct.
Yeah. Maybe there are ways in the API, I think, to be able to be less aggressive with it. You can throttle back the.
So that's one of the things that's, I'm sure at some point we'll see some sort of UI helping you with this, or maybe it'll stay as a developer, filter. I don't know, but, there's ways to play with it.
I've made the website work, by the way, if you want to go back and watch it on the website. And Michelle Frechette says that's actually how she does it each week. So apparently I'm wrong. There are people who watch it over there. It's fixed. And it was me not toggling a button in the platform. When you copy and paste the iframe or whatever it is, you've got to switch it on. And I failed to do that in my busyness. So it's fixed over there. Okay, let me just press on, and then if Anna and John want to just interrupt, they can. I'm going to just push on into this article. There's loads. Global styles are going to be available on the main menu. Quite nice if you're into theming. Previously, they were sort of just in the sidebar on this right-hand side here in posts and things like that, and now they're all available. And you can click on things like, there's a little video down here where you can click on this, like, for example, if it says typography here where my mouse is, you can click onto that and you enter into a subsection where all of the typography is displayed and change it. You can also hide and show the template. Moving on, the style book is now available, and this is where you actually click inside the bits and pieces that I was just mentioning. Zoom out view that Remke says, you know, he's not actually managed to use. I kind of feel if you've got like a big landing page, like, I don't know, a sales page or a...
Sure. I've built those as well. It's just, I don't see the point. Like, it's so small. Yeah. It's like, let me just scroll and see the thing in actuality.
So here's a point that I think it's quite useful for. I've got a small MacBook. It's a Mac, I think it's 13 inch or something. And if I'm on a page that's quite long, and I've got the sidebar, WordPress sidebar on the left, I've got the menu on the right open, and I've got the navigator inside the Gutenberg editor open as well. I've got this tiny like 3-inch window where I can actually see the content of the post. And so in that scenario, it's quite good. Because I can sort of zoom out and look at it all.
I would recommend you get a proper monitor.
Yeah, chuck that away. I do have a proper monitor at home, but out in the wild, when I'm, like, as an example, I put together some links for this post whilst I was in Cloudfest, which we'll get into in a bit. And I had to collapse all the menus in WordPress. And also I used the sidebar in my browser. I don't have the tabs arranged at the top. I have the tabs arranged down the left side. So that constrained it even more. So that zoom out view in that scenario was pretty good. What else have we got? We've got a bunch of, basically borders have been added to a bunch of blocks. So for example, the comment block, the comments link, comment count, latest post, you can see a list here. Borders have been added, and it goes on and on and on and on. And I'd like to thank Birgit for putting this together.
This is a wonderful resource.
In Anne's stead. Yeah, it's over on Gutenberg Times. The URL, in case you want to, I suppose you can go for the URL. GutenbergTimes.com/source-of-truth-wordpress-6.8. And if you just hyphenate everything I just said, you'll get there. But if you're looking at it on the screen, you'll be able to see the words there. John, Anna, anything on there before we press on?
No, not a Gutenberg user.
Well, that'll be, that's easy to... That's easy to move on from.
I love Gutenberg, and I believe in it. And for me, it's just that I like that it's developing. It's not about this resource, but to see that it has some new features and develop itself, it makes me happy.
Nice. Well, let's get into that in a moment. It just occurred to me that usually when we start the show, I mention the people that have dropped in to say hi, and I failed to do that this time.
Yeah, and you're being roasted.
Am I getting told off?
A little bit.
Okay, well, let's go through that then. I am sorry. I apologize. First of all, Lana. Lana works with Anna. Does Anna work with Lana?
Lana is our best of the world partnership manager. So nice. She's quite known, I think, in community.
Nice. Well, thanks for joining us. She says, good evening, everyone.
She was on Cloudfest too, but we didn't find her somehow.
I failed to see any of these people. I'm so sorry. Thank you for pointing that out, Michelle. It should be fixed now. If you want to go back there and refresh it, it should be fixed. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. They're saying, okay. Andrew Palmer's joining us. I met Anna and Lana at Cloudfest for about 2 minutes. Fantastic, he says. That's nice. Okay, this is where it gets back to the normal stuff. Every week, for reasons unknown, people drop in and tell us what the weather is, where they live. So we tell them. We just get it out there. So Michelle Frechette is in Rochester, New York, and it's 44 degrees in some incomprehensible unit of measurement of temperature, or 7 degrees in a sensible unit called Celsius. And it's partly cloudy. What do you use in Canada, John? Please tell me it's centigrade.
oh, everything in Canada is on metric system except for when we go to buy meats and stuff. And then it's bits and pounds. Canada uses a beautiful mix of the old system and metric system, the conventional and the metric. So it's a crazy mix.
We're way worse than that. In the UK, we use miles for like driving on the road. Mm-hmm. Most builders use yards and inches for measuring like the lengths of things. We use, yep. Nobody really uses kilo. And then for our own height, we use feet and inches.
Yep.
And then for how heavy we are, how much we weigh, we use stone.
Yeah. Well, Canada doesn't use stone, but we do have that wonderful mix that you just mentioned.
Yeah, none of it adds up. Okay, let's press on. We're joined by also by Influence WP. That's Ryan from Charlotte in North Carolina. Thank you very much. Good afternoon, sunny Yorkshire. I can confirm it is sunny in Yorkshire. It's Tim Nash. Thanks for joining us, Tim. Lana's back from the Ukraine, she says. Claire, and unfortunately, the system parses the emojis as words. So apparently it's eyes purple crying. There we go. Reese is joining us from sunny Newton Le Willows. That sounds like a nice place, Reese. I don't know. I've suddenly got an urge to go to Newton Le Willows. Taco, hi all. It was so cloudy in that word, which is impossible to pronounce. Remco Stepin, it's what? How do we say that?
Viken.
Okay, thank you. It was so cloudy in Viken. I couldn't even see the podcast on the webpage. It was just one big gray mist. Luckily, it's less cloudy on YouTube. Oh, I see. That was me failing, wasn't it? I get it. Hello, everybody, says Elliot Sowersby. Sorry. WP Minute Tutorials. It's Matt Medeiros joining us. Is this where I join to get free performance audits from Remkus? Remkus, is this where he joins to get free performance audits?
He's at the wrong place, because this is where you can get free roasting.
Okay. So, no. I don't know where you get the free performance audits. Does one of the panelists have a Doc Matrix printer going? I don't know. I can't hear anything.
I think that was John's chair.
That might be my chair. I have a squeaky chair, and I'm trying to keep my mic muted on most of the time.
So. Oh, okay. Okay. No, well, I can't hear anything, so that's okay. Ciao from Italia, says Jackson. Jackson's a really nice guy, and he will give you free olive oil if you see him in. But I have really nice olive oil as well. He makes his own, and it's delicious. And it actually burns the tongue. Did you know that if you've got really pure olive oil, drink it, it hurts like chilies do?
Yep.
I didn't know that until after Jackson had given me some. bless him. I'm getting a bit worried for Nathan. We covered speculative loading in the previous episode. We did. You're right. But, you know, we've got some new guests. So here we go. Cammy saying good morning from Seattle. It's raining again. These comments just go on and on. I'm sorry, but we can't keep doing this all the time. Cammy, should we stop there? Michelle, last one. Weather in C, backing in F. Okay. There we go. Thank you to the other people that joined us, Max, Cameron, Tammy, and all the other people. Thank you. But let's crack on with the bits and pieces in the show. Okay. Here we go. Next stop, we have this one. We were just talking about this, about the release schedule for WordPress 6.8. And although, Taco, don't shoot the messenger, we did speak about this in the last show as well. Taco discovered it moments before we had the last show. So we sort of just briefly covered it. And so I'm going to dig into it properly this time. This is the idea that given the state of play in the WordPress community at the moment and the lawsuits that are surrounding Automattic and WP Engine and what have you, and the shrinking of commitments from a lot of companies and individuals. So they're shrinking the number of hours they contribute right down. So Automattic went from, I think, I'm going to say like 1,200 hours a week or something. I think they're currently on about 20 or something like that. Other companies, I think Bluehost have also recently shrunk the amount that they were doing as well until everything stabilized. And so one of the knock-on effects of that is, should we just basically move WordPress core releases, so WordPress 6.8 to 6.9 to 7 and so on, to one a year? Now, on the face of it, that there just seems to be no problem with that. But I think there probably are some problems with that. And so Matt Mullenweg put out a call to ask core committers what they thought about this. Now, I've no intel on what those core committers actually said to each other. I don't know if that call has taken place yet or what have you. But anyway, hopefully if that has taken place. We're going to get some clarity on this. But yeah, the idea being that if we do a release just once a year, what will that look like? How often would we do little minor releases in between, like, I don't know, big security patch that needs to be pushed out? How would that get done? And also, this is probably the main thing that came up. Jeff Paul, who is the director of open source at 10op, pointed out that if you want a bunch of volunteers to commit to a release cycle, the current model of 3 months is something that's, you know, that's fairly easy to commit to. You can do that in a normal run of events. But if you were asking people to commit to a 12-month cycle, how likely
that's a long
is that? Time. It is a long time, right?
Yeah.
So he makes that point, and Aaron Jorbin emphasized the importance of increased testing for minor releases if the project shifts to fewer updates. And I don't know what you thought, really. Here's a bit about the companies pulling back and so on. I'm getting this information, by the way, from the repository. WordPress could see just one major release per year under new proposal. So it's kind of over to you. What do you, as the three panelists, make of this? Is this something that concerns you? Obviously, Anna, you're in the plugin space. Does this like bother you? Does it make you feel a bit more nervous about WordPress?
So for me, it makes some issues because it just sounds, first, it sounds not stable. So you have just worries, what is behind of it and what will be in the future? What is the strategy for this decision, for example? The second, as you say, the 12 months is too long time to commit. And if the release will be too big, it will be an issue just technically, if we put a lot of features and so on, or we just not going to put a lot of features in the new release versions. Then what is it? Does it mean? Does it maintenance of WordPress? So, I mean, what do we miss here? What is the strategy for WordPress itself? Do we have one of it? Vision of WordPress for 5 years or 10 years, for example. This is what I'm thinking about. So, I mean, I have started to work as a supporter and we have a big support team. So, of course, I worried about minor releases, bug fixes and all that stuff. But if we're talking more strategically, what does it mean?
I just put a comment up from Tammy, who is a core committer, Tammy Lister. I'm glad. I hope you got home safely, Tammy, by the way. She said the meeting takes place during the course of this week. So I guess we'll get some clarity and feedback on that next week. But that I guess you've raised there, Anna, the same concerns raised up in the article there. You know, whether or not we've got this blockbuster release, which happens, I don't know, let's pick the month of June or something. That's a lot for developers to cope with if there's 1,000 different patches and updates and features and what have you all dropping at the exact same moment. That's a lot of things, I guess, possibly to go wrong in one moment. Don't know.
I wanted to just add, for example, for paid something, it won't work. So just because it's open source, we can't say like, you know, if we in CrocoBlock make one release for Jet Engine for our main plugin a year, we will be killed by our customers. Because they don't feel security, they don't feel that plugin is developing and so on.
Actually, I think we should make a distinction between major releases and minor releases. So minor releases will just happen. Like security updates will happen, maintenance updates will happen. I don't think that's the thing that's being suggested to also slow down. It's the major releases, so the big ones. So 6.8 is upcoming, 6.9 would be next year, 7.0, potentially 27. So it's not been decided. It's a suggestion, but it's, there's a lot of things. I think the exhaustion is probably the worst one, because I think that particular comment that you highlighted was the comment that made the most sense to consider. Three to four months doing stuff on release. Sure. Doing that for 12 months. I don't see that happening. That's just too long. And sure, the amount of time will be less, but it also is something that will be, you know, your mind is working on that anyway. And if that's 8 hours per week or 24 hours per week, I've no idea what the amount of hours are, but you're busy thinking about it anyway. I think that is actually the biggest issue. Besides the we're not progressing fast enough when all of our competitors are.
Okay, that's an interesting thought. So the I guess at that point, do the competitors get to use that almost like a PR strategy against WordPress, you know? Because we've seen that, haven't we? We've seen sort of like subtle digs at WordPress from some of the proprietary platforms that you pay a subscription to. You know, their advertising is not immune to having a go at WordPress. And that could be an interesting angle. You know, the long unupdated WordPress, tired of not having new features in your platform of choice, you know.
And the advertising is doubling down. Like, if you see the amount of advertising that's being done by both Shopify, which is technically a competitor of WooCommerce, but it's the same principle, Wix, Squarespace, they are all over. If you watch any YouTube video with advertisement in front of it or in between it, first of all, get YouTube Premium because you don't want that in your life anyway. But the amount of, like, the sheer volume of it indicates that they're ready to get even harder in pursuing that market share. This would give them for sure a good argument. See, they're not really doing that much. See, they're stale. They're behind. Gutenberg, as the project, has delivered the site editor than the block editor. Both of them are not mature yet. Block editor way more than the site editor, but we're not there yet. That would mean we see an incredibly slow pace of refinement for those two editors at a point where we really need to accelerate instead of, you know, decelerate incredibly hard. I don't know. I don't think it's a good idea, but I get why we're having this discussion. I get where the debate comes from, but it's not a good sign.
Yeah. Interesting. By the way, YouTube Premium, I have YouTube Premium. I'm quite happy with it, but I didn't really know how many ads were on YouTube until I looked at somebody's YouTube feed the other day. And I was like, oh gosh.
Yeah.
Wow. It's like every 8 seconds or something you get a new ad. Here's a nice tip, by the way, if you've got a VPN.
Oh, it's easier.
Albania, apparently.
So Brave browser already filters out the vast majority of any of your scripts, but if you don't protect yourself, it's too much.
But apparently YouTube are not allowed. So I don't know why I'm saying this.
That's funny.
Apparently YouTube are not allowed to put ads in an Albanian feed because it's against the country's laws. So I was told that, you know, if you use an Albanian VPN, then you get YouTube without ads. Anyway, I'm not endorsing that. Who said that? It wasn't me. I didn't say anything about VPN.
It was an echo.
Yeah, some guy over there said it. Okay, so yeah, anything on that, John, on the, you know, this possible shift to a different relationship?
The possible shift, on one aspect, I think it's kind of nice to slow it down a little bit. But on the other, as is mentioned, by stretching it out, it will bring out the competition to say, hey, look, WordPress isn't innovating. It's not moving forward. And whether it is or isn't is irrelevant to the advertising promotion and the perception of the average user out there. They want something that's new, fresh, moves forward, and has all the latest features. And if WordPress starts slowing down to that point where once a year they dump all the features, that does also create problems for all plugin developers that have to catch up to those features all at once. You know, and of course, as Rimka said, is that, you know, it shouldn't stop the intermediate updates such as security releases and other things. So it's still got to be put out when the security problem is discovered.
Yeah, it was remiss of me really not to sort of highlight it in those terms. Yeah, so the patching and what have you, carry on as normal, but the release of the new features coming to an annual cycle. From all the conversations that I'm having and all of the talk about hours from contributors being drawn in, it seems like this is maybe where it's going to go. But Tammy, keep us posted on what the core committers say during the course of that meeting. That would be really interesting. Tim Nash makes the point that WordPress already gets labeled as legacy. It will make the idea it's stale hard to argue again. Yeah, can you imagine if we get to like the 11th month, how brutal those adverts will be? You know, seen any updates in your WordPress lately? you know, knowing that they're all going to come. But also, I would imagine that plugin developers, so Anna and all the companies out there that are producing commercial plugins, there's just so much scope for things to just, like, your support burden for the weeks following the day that the next version of WordPress drops, I imagine will be fairly insane, because all the things that,
The issue is that now it's too much. So we have too much updates and our developers need to integrate it in plugin. But once a year is another extreme, so to say. And one idea from Remkus I like that I tried to say about strategy, but he highlighted it more simple. So the product is not perfect. WordPress is not perfect. And we have a lot of things to perform and develop. And to add them just once a year, it won't work. So, I mean, if we will have a perfect product, and we just need back fix, then okay, once a year will be okay. But I want to be WordPress creator, and we miss a lot of features in Gutenberg, and so I want to have nice experience. That makes me... that makes me sad as a user, not as a plugin developer more, because if I want... So we have made integration to all good of our plugins with Gutenberg, because we believed in Gutenberg future. But now, so it's not perfect now, and I know that next... performance I will get in 1 year, and then in 1 year. So why we have made integration?
Period of uncertainty for sure. The moment where I guess all of this becomes clear from this article's point of view, hopefully will be next week. And Tammy says that a make post will come from it, like there was from WordCamp Asia. We'll see. And Taco saying he disagrees with Anna. He thinks that we don't have too many updates, way too few. We have way too few, he says. Ideally, we'd be able to integrate WordPress like your browser does updates. So what, in the background, so everybody's automatically getting updated and what have you, I guess, Taco. But yeah, let's see. Let's see what drops next week. Tammy, keep us posted. And the lawsuit, which I guess will be the end of all of this uncertainty and the hours of... all the companies like Automattic will maybe come into focus again. I think that's due to take place in the year 2027 now. So it really is like a long way. Have I got that right? Have my memory failed me there, 2027? Yeah?
That's what I remember. Like if everything, you know, the whole thing gone through all the judicial layers.
Yeah.
In 27.
So we've just into 2025. So we've got 2 years to ride this one out. Anyway, it's a movable feast. Let's see where we end up. Right. Let's go to the next one then. Okay, the next piece that I've got up here is this one, right? And I'm going to go off piece a little bit here. Let's pop that on the screen. I did an interview with Robert Jacoby, who, by the way, was working for a company called BotGuard, which no longer exists. BotGuard is now called Blackwall. And I don't know, Anna and Remkus, if you noticed Blackwall at CloudFest, but they, boy, they were doing a pretty amazing job of getting their branding out there. You know, there was Blackwall like ads almost everywhere. It was pretty impressive. So Blackwall is the renamed BotGuard. And in order for this podcast to happen, the idea really was that Robert and I were going to talk about how a company like BotGuard get in the way of malicious traffic. And in order to do that, we started talking about this thing called the OSI model. Now, caveat emptor, I am not like an expert at this at all. I basically read around it a little bit for the interview, but the more I read, the more disbelief I had. The OSI model is basically what underpins everything that you do on the internet. And there are seven layers to it. And I'm going to butcher it horribly, but every time you try to do anything on the internet, whatever you do has to basically percolate down these layers until eventually stuff leaves your computer, then travels around on the internet in the most breathtakingly unlikely to happen series of events. It finally arrives at where it wants to go, and then it makes its way back up the layer, and the person on the other end can see it, be that an email or a text message, or in this case video. But honestly, if you haven't looked, go and look at what's happening on your computer right now watching this. It is ridiculous that it works. every single packet encapsulated in data and then goes down the model and gets encapsulated in more data. And oh,
isn't that Azure machine because you're clumsy?
Yeah, my machine is doing a hell of a lot more work. Yeah, I've got the OSI Nathan version of that model, and it's like got cotton wool around the edges just in case something goes wrong. But see? I know, Remkes, this is your like bread and butter. I guess you're really into all the tech, and I imagine you understand this stuff. But I'd never really peeled back how it works, and I was utterly like just think about it. You go to an email, you write an email, and you click send, and you just think it's arrived.
Yeah,
there's how the hell did it get there? It's mental how it works.
If you combine all the protocols that work, how they work, how long they've been in place, because that's another thing. And you start adding everything up, just a simple thing doing, and the amount of connections and checks and packet tracing and all the protocol native stuff that makes, you know, the thing that you just intended to do, can you check that I actually did it? You know, all of that happening in nanoseconds, it's a bit much to keep in your mind. So back and relax.
I'm not going to encapsulate it very well, but you know, every time let's say we're streaming now, my camera is consuming the data. My microphone is consuming the data. That's going into the browser. The browser is then handing that off like thousands of times a second to another layer. That layer is then handing it to, like, trying to figure out, okay, where the hell do we want to go with this? That then hands it to something else, which goes further down. Then it gets to the transport layer. It's then thousands of times per second encapsulating packets of information, teeny tiny packets of information saying, okay, this is what it is. This is where it wants to go. And then more layers get added. Then it just fires out onto the internet and basically says, figure it out. Just get there. However the hell you want to get there, just get there. So some of the bits that I'm saying are probably routing through San Francisco, some through London, some through, I don't know, Geneva, Stockholm. They're just getting there. And then on the other end, they're going, yeah, let's just reassemble ourselves. And I described it like, imagine you had a bag of rice and you get the bag of rice and you throw it on the ground and a tower assembles itself. That's what's happening. All the time, every time. And we just totally take it for granted. And it's an absolute miracle.
This is how teleportation will work in the future.
Please.
I'm not trusting that. No. Thousands of packets.
It'll be a new protocol. Surely they'll forget.
Yeah. Never fail. But I just thought that was really interesting, you know, peeling back the curtain of how it works. And then because everything is getting sort of drilled down these seven layers, The job of what is now Blackwall, but was BotGuard, is to kind of intervene a layer long, long, long before WordPress ever gets hold of any traffic. They sort of stand as a guardian, seeing that data traveling across the internet and basically decide you can pass, like Gandalf in the Fellowship of the Ring, you know, none shall pass. They stand there and decide what packets can get through and what packets cannot. And it was absolutely fascinating. And apologies to anybody listening to that episode. I get quite excited like I did in this one and probably put my foot in it several times as well because I'm not really an expert. Anyway, the miracle of the internet. There you go. Remkes, Anna, John, anything to add to that?
Blocking bot traffic is good. And I saw some from Cloudflare. They've created a AI labyrinth for bots.
Should we do that now? That was going to come at the end of our show, but let's stick it in now because it's absolutely perfect. Remkes, I confess, I read Remkes's newsletter and diligently plunder it for links so that we can talk about them. Look at him nodding. Like, yeah, credit where credit's due.
It's nice.
And he raised this one.
This.
Yeah, I'm being honest. And he can confirm that this was in his newsletter. So what a piece of genius this is. So we're talking about these bits and pieces flying around on the internet. And this is on the Cloudflare blog. I guess it's a new, brand new feature that they've added into their platform. And it's called Trapping Misbehaving Bots in an AI Labyrinth. I read it and then kind of about halfway through, I thought I've got the gist of it. So I stopped reading it at that point. But go on, Remkes, beef up tell us what Cloudflare are doing. This is cool.
I mean, the title basically says it. It's they sort of create a trap for a misbehaving bot and then send it down a loophole that just never has an end, or a labyrinth. But you'll end up with a bot that doesn't know that it's not, that it's being blocked, and it continues to go, but it's wasting resources on their end, not on Cloudflare's end. It's just a really smart way of just, so the easy way would be to block and then done. But this way it actually costs money on their end. And I guess it's a more, you could say it's a more petulant way to do it, but I think I like this way. I think this is a very smart way to do things. I'm a big fan.
Because if you've got, if there's no, sorry, you finished, John. I apologize.
Oh yeah. I thought it was a great idea as I was reading through it. And what they do with the bot is, as Remkes mentioned, when the bots are just blocked, they go away and they'll come back again. But when they take them and throw them into this AI labyrinth, the bots just keep running in circles and it keeps them busy and keeps them out of everyone's hair. So stops them from going elsewhere.
Yeah, I guess if you've got a network and your primary objective is to do malicious things on the internet, if there's almost no cost to that procedure, if basically, as Remke said, you're just blocked right at the first port of call. And so it's just kind of like, okay, move on. Let's try another one and then try another one and try another one. So you could probably go through thousands in moments and then finally get somewhere. But whereas with this, the first port of call looks like fertile ground. So you keep going and it keeps offering up AI-generated content that masquerades as being your content. But I was thinking at that point, well, hang on a minute, this is just AI bilge, and it's not. They're going out and creating authentic content, so factually correct content, so that whatever they're scraping is, firstly, it's not coming from your website, but it's not AI drivel. It's something which is true, but totally divorced from the enterprise of what you're trying to do. And then it links to further things which it's made, well, articles which it's made, which are, again, verifiably true. And the whole process just keeps going on and on. And so it's a bit like when somebody from a call center phones you up and says, we think you've got a problem with your Windows installation. And you know right off the bat that is complete BS. You know that they're lying to you. And the quickest thing to do is to hang up. And then, of course, they're then freed up to try it on somebody else. Well, it's a bit like keeping them on the phone for a few hours and just pretending. And I'm not saying I do that, but yeah, I do that. it gives me great pleasure to do that. You should try it sometime. So, Remkes, is this free? Like, can anybody make use of this? What do you know what the deal is?
I don't remember that, but I know it's, as far as I've read it, it's part of what their main service is.
So I'm just looking at a screenshot. If you've got Cloudflare, it's under security and then settings. And you can see this on the screen. And then there's literally a toggle and it's called AI Labyrinth. And you just toggle that on, but I don't know.
Yeah, I read somewhere in their stuff that they're giving it out to even the free accounts.
Yeah, there we go. I just Googled the word. Yeah, I just searched for the word free. AI Labyrinth is available on an opt-in basis to customers, including the free plan. Maybe there's some constraints on how long they keep them going, but yeah, great. We're going to be, it'll be an arms race. I'm sure that at some point the bad guys will figure out a way around this. But for now, it's going to cost them an awful lot of money. So well done, Cloudflare. Joy, joy, joy. What have we got here? Tim Nash says, email is as close to being magic as we can get. Email should not work, which explains why so often it doesn't. Thank you, Tim. TTCP teleport over TCP. Oh, stop it. Sorry. And then Taco says somewhat nicely, everyone reads Remkes' newsletter, obviously. Thank you.
Not everyone just yet, so.
Not everyone quite yet, but many. Never-ending loophole, says Reese. Thank you very much. And here we go. So Tim, who's a bit of an expert in all these kind of things, has a contrary point to make. The resources to do this surely is greater than simply dumping the traffic or tar pitting it. I don't know, Tim. I'm imagining Cloudflare
Sort of deeper in their article, they go on about how it uses very little resources at Cloudflare's end because it's all generated already, and it's just in an AI environment. And once the bot hits it, it just stucks in that loop. And there's no new content being generated at Cloudflare's end. It's
interesting. So they pre-generated the content, right?
It was an interesting on how they accomplished it and what they've done. And doing considering what Cloudflare has done over the years, it's really interesting that they've come up with this idea. And they probably use their lava lamps to help create the data.
Oh, yeah. They're sort of like pseudo-random noise generator. It's a wall of chaos. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. The article, by the way, if you want to follow up on this further, is Trapping Misbehaving Bots in an AI Labyrinth. It came out just the other day. So you can go check it out. It's on the Cloudflare blog. So we went off in a bit of a random direction there. So let's pull it back in. Did we do this one? Yeah, we did that one, but we did not get to this one. Okay, this is fascinating. And a bit of a shame. Let's see how this one pans out. So WordCamp Asia has just finished. It was in Manila in the Philippines. And no sooner does one end than the other one is in the planning. And during WordCamp Asia, it was announced that the next destination would be India in the city of Mumbai. But we have this piece from Ray at the repository. It's called WordCamp Asia 2026 Goes to Mumbai, but Bangladeshis may be shot out over visa ban. Now, what I know about international politics and relations could be written on something very tiny. I'm imagining a grain of rice, frankly. I don't know a lot about these kind of things, but it would appear that Bangladesh and India are not exactly the best of friends at the moment, which means that it's either impossible or exceedingly hard for somebody from Bangladesh to get a visa to travel in India. So that therefore means that the people from Bangladesh will be left out of this massive event. I don't think anybody's saying that the event itself necessarily should be moved because of all the locales on planet Earth, it seems that India that is doing more in terms of events and all of that than elsewhere. So it does seem like a sort of justified place to put the event. But the question is, how do we get these developers from different parts of the world? How do we get them to attend? Is there any dispensation that we can extend? You know, can people from, I don't know, automatic reach out to the Indian government? I don't know what kind of clout that would have. I'm guessing there wouldn't be a lot that the Indian government would change in order for a WordPress event to go on. I very much doubt it, but I could be wrong. But also, it was mentioned in this article that not just people from Bangladesh, but also from Pakistan, the relations seem frosty there as well. So I don't know what we do about this. It strays into international relations, but it does make me think, I wonder how that got ignored in the sort of process for the deciding of that event. Interesting.
I don't think it got ignored. I think that there is an exception that at some point you're going to make a decision and that decision has consequences and you live with the consequences because I don't expect them to willingly say, whatever, all the Bangladeshi, we don't care. I don't think that's the case. But any choice you make has consequences. So are you going to satisfy everyone? No. Am I glossing over a huge country with an enormous amount of people? Yes. But bottom of the line is these decisions have these types of consequences. If there's not another team that wanted to host it, then, or this is what, it's not a one decision based on one little data point, I don't think.
Yeah, I'm guessing that it really wouldn't matter where you put it, then there's probably something that would go wrong in this sense, is maybe that what you're saying. However, I'll just raise this on the screen because this sort of adds a little bit more clarity. If you are thinking of going, the process of applying for a visa is currently on hold, it would seem, from this article. However, if that process was to resume, it says, we've unofficially learned from the Indian visa application centers that should visas be started again for people from Bangladesh to head to India, then the process is a 3 to 4 month backlog. So that's quite a lot as well, because you really do have to make decisions I don't know what you people are like, but if I attend a WordPress event, it tends to be more last minute than the sort of three to four month schedule. So you'd obviously have to have all your ducks in a row long before attending. So
where does one actually get those ducks?
The ones that stand in a row.
Yeah. Like
when Walmart, I think.
Walmart? We don't have Walmart.
$6.99 for 12.
Okay.
And then if you buy, I think, 50, you get them for like $8 or something like that. And they're very obedient.
That they are.
They stand in a row. Okay. So there we go. Anna, anybody want to contribute on that?
So for me, it's very difficult to say something about politic issues, but we know that that there is a lot of developers in India, and they have started to build websites before I have started to work with WordPress. So maybe it's not so bad idea. So maybe I don't want to go so far, but it sounds logical to make it in India.
Yeah, Remkes's point is sort of echoed down here by Taco in terms of WordCamp Europe. He's saying that it's extremely hard for people from African countries to enter the EU or to attend WordCamp Europe in this case. And again, echoing what Remkes said, the challenge for every country is that some folks will or will not be able to get a visa. So I guess that's
what it's unfortunate, but it's what happens. You have to choose a city and go with whatever the laws of the country are.
Yeah.
It's an unfortunate side effect of our world today.
Yeah.
People get excluded from literally every WordCamp for visa reasons, says Cameron. Hello, Cameron. Nice to have you with us. And Reese Wynn says, India visas are fun to apply for. And then he's got a sad emoji. I'm guessing they're not fun to apply for. Also, Reese says, folks do get excluded from WordCamps for non-visa reasons, sadly. LG. I can never get this acronym out my mouth intact. I'm going to do it really slow. LGBTIQ+. I think I did it. Folks get really don't feel safe in some countries that have hosted WordCamps. Thank you, Reese. Thank you. Okay, I think we covered that one off. In which case, we shall move on, and we'll go to this one. Actually, let's go to this one quickly. Quick hat tip to Kyle from the admin bar. It's a video, so we can't really do it justice, but Kyle released a really neat little video this week. It was about, I think it's about six. Oh, it says there 6 minutes, 21 seconds long. It's not very long. You'll be able to consume it really quickly. And it says attempts to make a WordPress website more app-like. And by app-like, it means, you know, those sort of nice interactions you get between clicking a button on a mobile phone app, and the sort of the core animations that you get from those kind of things. So he chucks a few things in where he animates titles into different places and what have you. And it's really nice. And I support what Carl's doing over there at the admin bar. So I just thought I'd mention that. I don't know if any of you, saw that. Probably not. In which case,
I did. It was nice.
Yeah, did you like it? I thought it was neat.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff inside of WordPress now that allows you to do this more and more now. We're slowly but surely moving to a position where we can have these types of almost non-refreshed content sites. We're getting
from that. Putting your speed and optimization hat on, is that a better experience for the user always, or is a hard page refresh a more desirable outcome in most cases? Because I'm still sort of stuck to the, I kind of want to click a button and I want to see something not... I just want to see the whole thing change. I want to know that I've gone somewhere else. And so sometimes I get a bit... So as an example, do you remember the TechCrunch website about 2 years ago?
Yeah, horrible.
You clicked on there was the archive.
Yeah.
And they did this clever animation thing where you clicked on a title and the whole post was in like an accordion. So you felt like you were still in the archive, but the post opened up. And it was really clever. But I had no idea where the hell I was on that website. I got really lost, and I noticed that they quickly kind of undid it. So I don't know. I'm saying that I think it's brilliant what Kyle was doing, but I don't know if that's always the best outcome for end users.
So first off, consider your age, mine as well.
I often consider my age.
I know. There was no gentle way to bring this sentence. Here we are. You are used to this behavior as you grew up on the web, right? So
that's true. Yeah.
Younger, You do a lot of discovering the web via apps. So that is a different type of behavior. So the you wanting to see it in a particular way, sure, that makes sense. But if you look at it from a performance standpoint, it's more a question on, can you deliver that newer experience in a as performant way as you can do the old one? Yes, you can. But stuff like fragment caching becomes more interesting. Stuff that's built inside the interactivity API inside of WordPress does, you know, facilitates this. And are those properly cacheable? Is it, you know, can you build on top of that in a smart way? Those are questions you need to test your scenario with, like, what would that normally look like? And what if I make it a one app, easy refresh type approach? The one isn't necessarily slower or faster. It's more like, how do you build it? And that's with all these things. If you're just copy pasting stuff together and you have no idea what you're actually doing, then chances are you're building a slower solution. If you build what you understand, again, chances are higher you're building something performant.
You should go check it out, though. It's on the Admin Bar YouTube channel. The URL for that I actually don't have off the top of my head, but if you just Google the Admin Bar on YouTube, you'll get to it. And this one is called Create an Impressive App-like Experience with a Few Lines of CSS. So go check that out. Okay, let us move on. I want to just do this one very quickly. This is a segue into something else in just a moment. This is a piece by Anne. I can never say Anne's name correctly. I always say Anne Marie, and I know it's not Anne Marie. Bovelet.
Anne Mieke Bovelet.
Yeah,
you see. Anne Mieke Bovelet.
Thank you. That was what I was going to say. That was verbatim what was going to come out of my mouth. But I'm glad that you said it. So, you know, just like Remkes did. And this is, I thought this was really interesting. So this is Anne, who is really into accessibility, and you'll find out more about that in just a moment. She wrote this article about how, with the advent of the European Accessibility Act, which is coming in force, I think in a few months' time, I can't remember. I've got a feeling like it's June 2025, something like that. Anyway, the point is it's coming, and it's coming quickly. It feels like, and a bit in the same way when Google sort of said they were going to enforce things like Core Web Vitals, it's sort of like gold rush of people reaching out to their clients and saying, we will magically do all the things so that Google does not drop your rankings. Well, this is, I think Anne feels there's a moment in time where that could be something that catches people with their websites, developers who don't necessarily know what they're doing in terms of accessibility, reaching out and basically being cowboys. And so she's got this article, which is called How to Identify Accessibility Charlatans. I won't go into all the different bits and pieces, but she talks about, you know, whether or not people are actually going to be liable under the law, or whether that's just people coming and trying to scare you into giving them work. And then she goes into tools that you can use to find out whether or not your site really is in need of work. Questions that you can ask of people who claim to be experts, and then listen to the kind of answers that come back and compare it to, you know, what somebody that really, really does know what they're doing, and so on. And digging into their actual processes and probably having a look at the website that they actually produce and seeing whether it's accessible. Anyway, that was an aside. Anne was at CloudFest the other day. She was leading one of the tables. So let's just segue into CloudFest. Remkes and I and Anna were there last week. I saw Remkes a lot. I didn't see Anna there, but Remkes and I attended a thing called the hackathon, and oh, what was that? That was like the best, some of the best days of my life. I really enjoyed that. I arrived.
Oh, I will cry now.
I'm sorry, Anna. I'm sorry, but you just hear what we've got to say, and you too will be. You'll be there next year. So yeah. I had no expectations of that. I went as a media partner, so I'll be creating some podcast episodes and things from it. But I didn't really know what to expect. I'd read a small amount about it from previous years, but I arrive and there's like 110 people in the room. And those 110 people, me excluded, there were a few media partners. And so we were the non-developers. Everybody else was like developer or developer adjacent. And they'd been selected to be in the room. So Remkes was one of them. And I think they had 400 people apply to be in the room. And they'd managed to whittle it down to 110, something like that. No, there were no no-shows. Everybody that said we're going to come came. So that's pretty impressive. And then 10 projects were announced. And the idea, this is so great. The idea is to take a project from ideation to much further on, maybe even finished in 3 days. And so the 10 table leads, if you like, with their co-lead, or, you know, maybe it was just one person or two people, they go up onto the stage and they say, I want to work on this for 3 days. Join me. And I thought, this is going to be chaos. There'll be some tables which have got like 92 people on, and there'll be like 8 tables with one person. It didn't work that way. Everything kind of evened out. And then the hacking began. And what was really interesting is how complicated you can make a whiteboard in a heartbeat. So there were all these whiteboards next to the tables, and within like the space of 2 minutes, they were full of incomprehensible jargon that, you know, the likes of me can't understand, you know, relationships and database tables and what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. And I was like, anyway, after 3 days, the winner was announced of all of these projects. And we'll go through what they were in a moment. And it was Anne. It was Anne's table that won it in what I can only describe as pretty sublime. Do you want to know what they did, dear audience? It was so cool. Imagine you've gone to a website, and let's say that you are blind and you come to an infographic. So a picture of data represented in pictures. So it could be a chart. It could be a pie chart or a donut chart. It could be text with a chart next to it. The chart could be, you know, really straightforward for a human that can see, but it could be quite complicated. They built a plugin which, using AI, reads the image and translates it into human-readable text in a couple of seconds. So it takes that thing that is basically a void to somebody who can't see, total black hole, and it takes the data and puts it into a summary. It summarizes the data. It tries to extract the data from the pie chart, maybe set it out in a table which is accessible. And it was pretty cool, I've got to say. Remkes is nodding. I know he's slightly disappointed because his table didn't.
No. I think this is there's two projects that I like the outcome the most of. This is one of them, and the other one is the WP CLI meets magic, basically.
Yeah, we can talk about that in a moment. But I don't know, Anna or John, if I encapsulated that. But did you understand from what I just said what that project's in enterprise was?
Yep. So I haven't seen you, but I have seen Anne. So we have talked about it a little bit. So of course I understand.
Yeah.
Had some luck. John,
did you get it from what I said?
I think John is frozen.
Yep, I did.
No, your audio's fine. So keep going.
My audio's fine. The picture seems to have frozen for some strange reason.
Yeah, don't worry. So long as we can hear you, that's the main thing.
Yep. No, I did. I did get it. That was quite nice.
Yeah, and it was
something neat to see and watch.
Well, it was 3 days, and I was just surrounded by people who were obviously very intelligent, very bright, and in just about every case, very driven, and achieved in the group that Anne was working with. In that case, they got from nothing to complete, I think, basically in 3 days. So a thing which didn't exist suddenly to something which did exist. I know, Remkes, you were sort of dotting around from table to table, but do you want to just tell us about the one which you mentioned there that you quite liked, the WP CLI one? Because that was a cool project too, wasn't it?
Yeah. Most people find WP CLI, the command line interface for WordPress, they find it a little daunting. Once you get familiar with it, it's basically understanding how the structure works, and then the commands allow you to do various things. Now, one of the things it doesn't do, it doesn't understand certain like you would talk to an AI. So if you were to use a prompt inside a WP CLI, it just errors. It doesn't know how to do that. That project basically connected AI with the command line, meaning you could say stuff like, write me 5 posts in this category about this topic and just do it in the background. Or show me the last 7 posts that have the tag Nathan and builds added to it. And it just, in the terminal, just does all the things you ask it to do. Yoast even showed me the creation of a plugin that did something. So you were basically saying, I need this type of functionality, and can you please create a plugin for me, put it there, activate it, and then move on to the next question I have for you. So stuff like that, just to work on the command line, making life easier. I thought it was close to magic as you could make it.
Yeah, it was really fun to watch, wasn't it?
Yeah,
really fun to watch. They were leaning heavily, I think, into Pascal Birchler's, I forget what his plugin is called. It's something like the AI Connector plugin or something. But he was sitting.
No, that's Felix's.
Felix Arntz, is it? I apologize.
Yeah. AI Serving.
Yeah, that's it. Thank you. But that was a profound one. And like Remke said, you could see people typing into the command line, which usually results in, you know, if you're an inexperienced person like me, that's heartache. But in this case, you could type in English words as a sentence.
Yeah, yeah. But
multiple results.
Literal AI prompts like create this image, and then you are presented with an image. You go, and it's then nicely in the media library, right? And then you say, that's lovely, but I'd like a black and white version of that, please. And then the AI turns that into a black and white version, like things like that.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
So we've lost John on the video, but hopefully his audio is still there.
I'm still
yeah, we got you. That's fine. Honestly, John.
The video, I don't know why my camera shut down. It just could be my laptop.
Don't worry. So long as we can hear you, the main thing is that we can hear you. That's all good. So I'll just put it back on the screen and we'll show you again an article from the repository, and it's demonstrating. There's Anne's team. We were just talking about Anne, and it's describing that Visuali. Is the project that won, but let's just go through some of the other winners as well. So the overall winner was the one that we just mentioned, and you can find more about that. The Tech Visionary Award was won by the Peer-to-Peer Federated RAG Framework, and the Dream Team Award also by the Peer-to-Peer RAG Federated RAG Framework. The Social Media Master Award, well, it's kind of, it doesn't really fit into, it was an odd category, this one. It was about how well you could promote what you were doing via social media, but that was won by the WP CLI as an MCP host. Pitch Perfect Award was a tie between the CMS Freedom. So this was a project which was trying to make it so that you could port things from one CMS to another. And Visuali, again, Breaking Barriers Award, again, won by the Accessibility Infographics team. And it's going to happen next year. Can I just say that if you are a developer and you really enjoy working with a bunch of like-minded, bright, interesting individuals, just whenever the application process opens, just get your that's forming as fast as possible, I would say. It was such a cool event. And I think, honestly, I know it sounds a bit cheesy, but the energy was pretty cool in there, wasn't it? You know, people getting scoffed on in short shrift was just so cool to watch.
Yeah.
Really
excellent,
nice.
Excellent vibe.
Yeah, really, really nice. Okay, so there we go. That's what happened there. Let's see what the comments are. But everyone can attend accessibility. I don't know what that was in reference to. Sorry, Taco. There you go. Tammy Lister, who was there, she was working on one of the tables. She found it exciting. And Yoast, the person, demoed the AI. So Yoast, the person, was sitting at the table that Remkes was just talking about, this WP CLI meets AI project, demoed image alteration via the command line. It was insane. Yeah, they showed me a great example before it was working, where they showed me, I think it was like somebody on a surfboard, and it was on the sea and there were waves and everything, and then they asked it if they could get rid of the waves, they prompted the AI, get rid of the waves, and it just removed the surfboard. Yeah. And the person on the surfboard, which is quite funny.
So we're not there yet.
No, no. But it was nice.
Yeah.
But okay, I don't mean this to come out the way it comes out, right? And please forgive me for what I'm about to say. I thought it was really interesting attending an event which felt like a WordPress event, but there was an end goal in sight for everybody sitting down. So we have Contributor Day in the WordPress space, which is meaningful and impactful, but it was very interesting sitting down with a bunch of volunteers, just like at Contributor Day, only there was an absolute moment in time when it had to be over, which was obviously 3 days. That's impossible for a WordCamp, but it was just really interesting seeing how those people coalesced, combined, got energized, got really busy. And in some cases, you'd walk past the room where everybody was supposed to have left at like 5 o'clock, and there were still people in there at like 8 and 9 o'clock just hacking away.
In the evening.
I got stuff done, and it was brilliant. And the winner, such a valuable thing for people that, you know, need those kind of things. Anybody else want to add to any of that before I move on?
No, nothing for me.
I think it's nice to do I'm excited for the hackathon thing and what happened there, and people should try to get in there, sure. But I also think it's nice to mention that on the Monday, so the end of the hackathon is around noon, and then around noon, WP Day begins. So you actually have an afternoon, basically panels discussing topics we are curious about inside the WordPress world. And then the actual CloudFest event, which is a separate thing, is also quite nice because there's because WordPress as a whole is growing inside CloudFest, and it's quite nice to see the like there was an entire room called the WP Zone, which where a lot of WordPress companies were present with a booth and all that. For anybody working with WordPress, you are also touching a whole bunch of other cool stuff that is happening on that cloud, right? The internet. It's interesting to be there because you'll see a different side of what you will normally see in a WordCamp. It's similar-ish, but it's also quite different. So I highly recommend you, if you haven't ever considered going to a CloudFest, that you, for 2026, or if you're in the US, there's a CloudFest US version as well. To consider going, because it's one of those things that breaks out of the bubble of a WordCamp, which is a particular format and a particular type of content generally. And this is different. This is in a way refreshing. Again, highly recommend you consider that for the next time it's being held.
Yeah. And what did you do there? I know you weren't at the
It was my reason to come, to just to visit one event for WordPress, with WordPress, but not WordCamp. So to compare and to see what happens, actually. And the second reason was, so first of all, Lana just told me I should go. And she's responsible for all events. If she says I should. So we were together. And her reason was because everyone goes. So basically, you have the same partners as you will get at WordCamp, but in a little bit different format. Yeah, for me, the reason was to see the partners, some media partners as well, to discuss in person. And for example, we had meeting with Codable, and after I talked personally, I had a completely different point of view, what they were doing and how and why. So, I mean, it's just for me important to meet people, and it was nice. Yeah. The bad thing, it was cold. And I didn't like the party side. I think for me it was cold, okay. And I like more WordCamps in summer. So I'm complaining about the party side and all that stuff. Yeah. Yes, and I like this WordPress Zone and that place for speeches made like a boxing ring. It was quite interesting.
It felt more like a there was definitely more of a sort of corporate feel, wasn't it? Because at a WordPress event, you are basically surrounded by WordPress plugin companies, theme companies, block developers, hosting companies, and all of that kind of thing. But in this, the remit of the sponsorship area really was anything that touches the internet. And, you know, so there were like big representation from people like NVIDIA.
And to see hardware.
And hardware.
And there were, so companies where they were just demonstrating all of their new developments in rack technology and, you know, what the servers look like.
For people who don't know what is CloudFest, it was 11,000 people. So you can just imagine. But you didn't feel it because it was a big territory and there was a lot of places. So.
Nathan, can you highlight Cammy's comment?
Yeah, sorry. Cammy is saying, yeah, I can. Thank you, Cammy. Nice to have you with us. Cammy says that in Miami, so there's a US version. Miami in November might be nice. What if you're a designer, not a developer? Still a good event. Are you talking about the hackathon, I'm guessing?
On the hackathon, yes.
Definitely there's a place for you. So for example, Cammy, at the one that we went to, I think I misdescribed it. I think I basically implied that the people in the room were all developers. That is not the case. So as part of each of the project, in many cases, there were people that were working on documentation for that project. Because obviously if it's launched as a plugin, it immediately needs to have, you know, knowledge base docs and things like that. But there were also people who were designers who were doing things like making, I don't know, the logo for that thing or designing the landing pages for that thing.
Yeah.
So I did misrepresent it. Maybe it was like an 80-20 split or a 70-30 split. I can find that out for you. It felt like more than half of the people were probably had developer chops, but I could be wrong about that. But don't put it, if you don't consider yourself in that, you know, serious developer category, don't let that put you off. There's work to be done. And, you know, furiously busy, interesting work to be done as well. So it was so interesting, Cammy. Remkes, do you think I answered her question right there?
Yeah, I think so. There's a good mix of different types of qualities, skills, and whatnot. So, yeah.
And Andrew Palmer says it's a true business conference. Yeah, there is that side of it as well. So it's very much, you know, there's lots of people who go there really business to business, and business is definitely a big part of the agenda. The hackathon, I should say, takes place prior to the main event. So it basically doesn't overlap. So you do the hackathon and then you can move into CloudFest. So they don't really, you know, that they combine well, put it that way. So you can do both of those things. Reese says he'd like to go next year. Honestly, oh, do it. Tammy, as a product person, it was ace. A lot of CloudFest is aimed at product.
Yeah.
There's loads about CloudFest here. I'd very much feel like the stupidest person.
No, Nathan will be there as well.
Oh, I was the stupidest person in the room by far. I was really dumb.
See?
And I felt great. So, you know, you'll have a lovely time. And Reese, I've got an intuition that I win the award of, you know, stupidest person if it was a contest between me and you. I'm betting my mortgage on it, in fact. So don't you worry. And then, oh, Taco. Come on, Taco. We'll join forces. He says he's also going to win that award. And it's also good if you're looking for a job. Yeah, that was a part of it as well. In the room, there was a jobs board. I don't know for CloudFest in general, but there was that. I was happily the stupidest person on my hacking team, says Tammy. You're being bashful. But Tammy says, I learnt so much. Yeah. Nice. So fabulous event. Definitely check it out. I don't know what the configuration of the one in Miami is. I don't know if it's got the same vibe. The one in Europe is in a theme park. I'll say that again. The one in Europe is in a theme park. Okay, let that percolate for a moment. Some of the rides are open. I went on the teacups, felt a bit ill, and that was it. There's no more rides.
Funnily enough, it's the one thing I do not care about as
the teacups.
No, the whole rides. I don't care about them.
Oh, it was so good. So good. Yeah.
I'm a boring old man.
Well, I didn't say it.
Oh, I saw it.
yeah. Moving on. Anyway, check it out. There'll be loads of. I imagine all of the tech community will have articles about it and various things. And I hope, Anna, that you got out of it what you intended to get out of it. It sounds like you enjoyed it, but you still, there's a, sounds like also there's a big place in your heart for the WordCamp
stuff as well.
Yeah.
So now I'm really sad because I wanted to visit Hackathon and I saw it only when we came for Web Day. And okay. Now, and I understood from first second, okay, we missed something most important.
Yeah. Well, honestly, just everybody attend and get to the hackathon if you possibly can. It was so worthwhile. Tammy says they will have what they will have a hack day. So I think we're talking about Miami now, Tammy. They will have a hack day and at least one project with a WP component to it. The US one, I think, is a studio, is in a movie studio or something along those lines.
Ooh, that's better.
There's a gimmick. There's still a gimmick, which is quite nice.
Thank you, Andy.
Andy said, "I'm not. I can't repeat that." That's,
no, you can't.
That's far too true to be said on. okay, yeah, shock. Right, let's move on. We're nearly out of time. So, what have we got time for? Have we got time for this? No. Let's move on. Have we got time for this? No. Do you know what? I think probably with 2 minutes to spare, if we launch into another one, we're going to run overrun. So let's just knock it on the head there. We've had a good run. We've done nearly the allotted time. So yeah, we'll do that in a minute. Oh we can't do it with John. I'm going to have to make...
You're out of luck. I can't get my hands up. For some reason, I've been trying to reset the camera, but it just won't reset. I don't know what went wrong.
Never mind. We'll do it like that, and I'll just put a fake... Simultaneous.
There you go. Put fake hands up. All right.
yeah. If it works, send me an image of you going like that, and we'll do it.
I could send an image of you later.
Oh yeah. Do it. Go on. That'll be hysterical.
I'm still waiting for my primary computer to reboot.
Oh,
I had to fix that. Well, when I rebooted this morning, when you had me reboot, it decided one of my hard drives needs scanning, and it's still scanning it.
Never nice. So first of all, thank you to all the people that showed up and gave us comments. Really appreciate it. That's great. It always makes the show much more interesting when people comment, and I'm glad that you all did. And then it remains for me to thank Remkus over there from scanfully.com. Go check it out. And also Within WordPress. You said withinwordpress.com, right?
Withinwp.com.
What did I say? Within WordPress. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're not. Not going there. Yeah. And also to Anna Herko from Crockerblock, crockerblock.com.
Yeah, right.
Okay, she's nodding. It's crockerblock.com. And also John, WP plugins A to Z.com.
That's right. And there's if you want to catch me later, noon my time here, I'm interviewing Ryan Logan from Influence WP. For my show live on YouTube later this afternoon. It goes live at noon Pacific time.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate
that. That's,
okay,
so that's 3.5 hours from now.
Okay. WP plugins A to Z.com. Go check it out.
WP plugins A to Z.com/live, and you can catch the show.
Oh, neat. Okay. And hopefully my live page is now working. It should be just as we end the show. Yay. But that's it. That's all we got for you this week. We have this thing, Anna, I'm sorry, where every week we raise our hands in this slightly humiliating way and we all wave. And I then put it as the album art. So, Anna, do you feel okay? Yay. And look, John's hands are nowhere to be seen, but hopefully I'll get an AI version of that.
You'll get an image later when I get a camera.
That would be great. If you could send it over, I'd really appreciate it. So thank you for joining us, our panelists, and thank you for joining us, our guests. I'm going to, as we say in the UK, knock it on the head, and we'll be back hopefully this time next week. So, see ya.
All right. Take care. Bye.